Well, a century ago, Michigan passed a law that would enact statewide prohibition. The Damon Act would take effect 3 years before national prohibition. And we all know what the booze ban led to: smuggling, speakeasies, and an organized crime free-for-all. Few criminal groups were as ultra-violent as Detroit's infamous Purple Gang. The Purples were Detroit's most notorious gangsters in the 20s and 30s. Led most often by members of the Bernstein family, the Purple Gang was made up of immigrants from Detroit's Lower East Side. Detroit native Daniel Waugh is fascinated with the history of Midwest organized crime. He's authored numerous works on the subject, including the book Off Color: The Violent History of Detroit's Notorious Purple Gang. WKAR's Peter Wharf caught Dan by phone yesterday. He leads off the conversation by recalling the roots of the Purples' colorful early history.
The two oldest brothers, Abe and Joe, were born in Russia just before their family set sail for America in the early 20th century. When alcohol was outlawed in Michigan in 1918, the Bernsteins were still in grade school at that point in the Jewish neighborhood of Detroit, which was known by the press as Little Jerusalem.
Right.
They basically hung out in the streets and just getting into trouble and causing mischief. And as they grew older, they grew into more serious crimes like armed robbery and assault and such. But there was a significant amount of older Jewish American criminals that were present in the neighborhood at the time that the Bernstein brothers were passing through adolescence. Almost all of them were transplants from the underworld of the Lower East Side of New York. It was these older men who first started bringing in alcohol across the river from Canada. And once the Bernsteins grew up, they were the ones who took over the business from the older ones, the older mobsters. One's name was Joe Murphy. Well, he wasn't Irish, but nobody seemed to remember his Jewish birth name.
Right.
Abe Bernstein was a couple years older than Joe, Ray, and Izzy, the other Bernstein brothers. And he initially worked as a newsboy when he was a young kid. And after he dropped out of school, he worked for Ford Motor Company for a few years in an assembly plant. But around 1913, Abe Bernstein started working in a downtown Detroit gambling house called the Dresden Cafe, which was apparently a real slaughterhouse. It was run by a former Detroit alderman by the name of Eddie Barnett. It was here that he got introduced to his lifelong love, which would be gambling. And he also learned the rudiments of the underworld and just generally learned how to be a tough customer, if you will.
This is Peter Wharf for Current State on WKAR. I'm speaking with Dan Waugh. He's author of the book entitled Off Color: The Violent History of Detroit's Notorious Purple Gang. Now, right there in the title of your book, Dan, Off Color, that is associated with the name Purple Gang. Will you talk about how Off Color suggests this idea of Purple Gang?
Yes. The term off-color originated with a Detroit news story that was printed on April 1st, 1928, right after a number of members of the Purple Gang had been arrested for a bunch of terrorism in the cleaning and dyeing industry. And this story suggested that while these young kids were growing up on Hastings Street, they robbed a series of pushcart owners on the streets. These pushcart vendors would sell fruits, vegetables, sundry items. And apparently after one pushcart owner had been victimized by these young kids who would grow up to be the Purple Gang, he complained to his friend. He said, "Those kids are just rotten, like the color of bad meat. They're off color. They're a Purple Gang." It's my opinion that this story is almost certainly an invention of the author who wrote the article back
right
in 1928.
Yeah.
But it was very colorful and very catchy, and it kind of stuck. And I used that term in my title.
Yeah, like so many names, who knows if the stories from which they arose are true, but it does make for a great story. Dan, tell me about once the Purple Gang really begins to take hold, what are the rackets that they get into.
At their zenith, Purple Gang, they were essentially jacks of all crimes. There wasn't, in fact, I even say in my book, there was not a felony they wouldn't commit. In addition to bootlegging, they were really big on hijacking. While the Purple Gang smuggled some booze across the river from Canada, by and large, just about all the alcohol they trafficked in was stolen from somebody else. They'll let somebody else do the hard work of smuggling across the river, and then once they do, they'll steal it from them right there on the water.
Oh, okay. Right.
And they also were very big in extortion. They got involved in the cleaning and dyeing industry here in Detroit and extorted those cleaning plants and the cleaning owners for a good 3 years. It resulted in at least two murders and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage. They were very big in narcotics smuggling. They were one of the biggest suppliers of opiates, namely heroin, morphine, and opium in Detroit in the 1920s and 30s. They were also involved in contract murder.
Right.
There's a very popular theory, which I personally don't subscribe to, that they were involved somehow in the infamous St. Valentine's Day Massacre in Chicago.
This is Peter Whorf for Current State. I'm speaking with Daniel Waugh. He's author of the book entitled Off Color, The Violent History of Detroit's Notorious Purple Gang. And we're associating this piece of history along with the Damon Act, which we talked about a little bit earlier in this conversation, which goes back 100 years ago. We're also talking about some of the high-profile incidents with which the Purple Gang was associated. Tell us about the Miraflores Massacre.
The Miraflores Massacre came about as a essentially as the result of two murders. One of the Purple Gang's main distributors was a fellow by the name of Johnny Reed. Johnny Reed moved to the Detroit-Toledo area around the time of World War One. Not coincidentally, you know, about the time that the Damon Act took effect in Michigan. Around 1921, Johnny Reed was shot in the head five times in New York City and miraculously survived, although he lost one of his eyes. He had a reputation as being a real tough customer, an unkillable customer,
I would say.
In the mid-1920s, Johnny Reed got into a shooting war with a rogue Sicilian gangster by the name of Mike DePisa. Mike DePisa was kind of a very incompetent gangster. He wasn't that tough of a guy. I mean, he was something of a coward. And the shooting war, Johnny Reed killed a number of DePisa's men and essentially made him beg for his life. It turned out that towards the end of 1926, one of Mike DePisa's brothers was killed in a robbery of a roadhouse in what's now Macomb County, Michigan. DePisa thought that Johnny Reed was responsible, you know, as his nemesis, so he had Johnny Reed killed in the back of his apartment building on Christmas night, 1926. Johnny Reed's pals were a number of St. Louis gangsters who hung around him and did side work for the Purple Gang, one key of whom was a gangster by the name of Fred Killer Burke. And so Burke went to the Purples, who employed Johnny Reed, in order to get revenge for their murdered friend. The trigger man who was believed to have killed Johnny Reed was a Chicago gangster by the name of Frank Wright, who was a jewel thief, a gunman, and a gambler. He was a pretty hard case, and Mike DePisa was believed to have hired him to get rid of Johnny Reed, his nemesis. So in March of 1927, Fred Burke and the Purple Gang lured Frank Wright to an apartment house called the Miraflores Apartments on Alexandrine Street in Detroit. And Frank Wright shows up there with two of his pals as backup, and they knock on the door, nobody's there, and they turn to leave, and then the fire escape opens, and then machine gun fire starts spewing out of that door and mows them all down right there in the hallway. And it turned out to be the first time that a Thompson submachine gun was used in the Detroit underworld, and the Purple Gang is credited with that.
The Chicago typewriter.
Right.
Dan Waugh is author of Off Color, The Violent History of Detroit's Notorious Purple Gang. Dan, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
For Current State, this is Peter Whorf.